heard our Pigskin Picks. Now it's time for the professional and friend of the program, Gabe Morenci. Find him on Twitter at Sports Rage, of course, the Fantasy Sports Network as well. Gabe, how are you today?
What's up?
Always a pleasure, gentlemen. How you guys doing? I'm ready for some football.
We're good. We're good. Hey, do we have the over last night with the Steelers? My goodness, the Panthers, they're a good team, and they got pummeled.
Yeah, you know what? I was actually on the over of that football game last night. Profitable night last night. I gave it back with some recreational plays in the NBA. You know, and I should have seen it coming. You know, the NBA's been an over machine, as you guys know, so far this year. But starting to slow down a little bit right now. The numbers are just so freaking incredibly high. But, yeah, we hit the over of that football game last night, which was nice. And, you know, people, we often talk about props, guys, and the long field goal prop is something that I've been known for over the years, and a prop that not a lot of people really play. But teams score so much now. We see. I mean, there's less field goal attempts. Coaches go for it way more than they used to when they're on the other team's 35-yard line. It used to be, you know, it used to be, all right, we're on a 37-yard line. It's third and 13. Let's just dump it off and give our field goal kicker a chance. Now it's almost everything's two-down territory. I mean, we saw the Carolina Panthers last night go for it right on the first drive of the football game. And in the old NFL, oh, my God, reverse, crazy. But, you know, teams aren't kicking as many field goals. So where I'm going with this for the props, guys, is QB passing yards is something that's just been crushing it. 400 is the new 300, essentially. Used to be a big deal to throw for 300 yards in an NFL game. Now everybody does it. I mean, hell, Eli Manning, as bad as he's been this year, has thrown for like 391 yards a couple of times, 360, et cetera. So the quarterback passing yard props have been gold. Last night, Ben Roethlisberger was 299. He was nearly there at the half. But it's crazy. Cam Newton couldn't get there because it was such a blowout. But we had a good night last night. But, hey, as I always say, unless you're a history professor, living in the past doesn't make you money. Let's rock.
Well, you know, I think a couple interesting games tonight. I'll be honest with you. I'm intrigued. And I know Louisville with Lamar Jackson has blown out Syracuse the last couple of years. Who cares about that? Call me nuts. Syracuse still actually has a shot at the ACC, the Atlantic, if Clemson should be upset by Boston College, and they'd have to lose again, obviously. But Syracuse still has a lot to play for. Call me nuts. I think they obliterate Louisville tonight, and I love Boise State at home against Fresno State. I think those two intriguing games, and it could be a those two. I think Boise State and Fresno State played 2 weeks in a row last year with each winning on their home field. But it's hard to go against Boise State on the Smurf turf on a late Friday night, and I love Syracuse tonight too. But tell me what you think. Tell me if I'm nuts.
Well, we're on the same page here, Pete. Let's talk first about the job that Dino Babers has done. You know, a lot of times, you know, we see these MAC coaches get promoted and go to a bigger program and a bigger situation. And, you know, he was coming from Bowling Green. You know, they generally fail for the most part. You know, we've seen it time and time and time and time again. There's been a few exceptions. But for the most part, most of these MAC coaches, they fail when they go to the Big Ten, when they go to the, you know, the American Athletic now. I was going to say the Big East, et cetera. You know, the new Big East, let's call it per se. And, you know, Babers was 4-8 in consecutive seasons. Normally, the natives and the boosters would start to get a little restless when you hire a new coach and back-to-back 4-8 season. But you could actually see the progress. If anyone was paying attention, you could see the progress that was being made with Syracuse football. And, you know, I don't think anybody, including Coach Babers, expected them to be 7-2 right now. And even more impressive, they're 6-2-1 against the point spread as well. I agree. You know, I think they pace these guys. And if you look back at the last couple of years, Louisville have drilled them. It's revenge time. 56-10, 62-28, 41-17, 28-6. Syracuse haven't beaten them since 2012. And it's no secret. Bobby Petrino is, you know, it's not just Bobby Petrino's wife or ex-wife that doesn't like him.
His
whole
team.
Football coaches. Yeah, I don't know if they're still together, actually. You normally I don't get personal, but when you crash a motorcycle with your mistress, then I get personal.
Well, half the team is transferring it, for crying out loud.
And look at, you know, people have run the score up on Louisville because of this. Sort of like, sorry, kids, but, you know, your coach is a real jerk, and it's payback time, and I think that's what we see. Little cause for concern, because Syracuse, who do they play next week?
Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm. And that game's right here in New York at Yankee Stadium. We'll get to the Michigan game. I'm going to be going to the game tomorrow, actually. Yeah. But we're looking to, we could be going to the game next week as well. I'll tell you, it's easier to get tickets tomorrow for the Rutgers game than it is for the Syracuse. Lot more expensive, guys. I'll put it that way. But I think Syracuse is a real deal. I think Syracuse handled their business tonight. Might be a little bit of a sweatshop at times as far as the number. I mean, anytime you're laying 20.5 points, that back door is going to be swinging wide open. Mm-hmm. But when it's all said and done, I think Syracuse are relentless. Syracuse understand the stakes and how big things are. They can improve to 8-2 with a blowout win leading into Yankee Stadium. I expect it to happen. So I'm going to be laying the points for the Cuse. I'm going to be taking a small piece of the over in this football game as well. I think Louisville should be able to do enough to be able to get there. Now, as far as the nightcap is concerned, man, Fresno State, I don't think there's an East Coast bias, and we're on the East Coast. Yep. But I'm sure a lot of your listeners right now aren't aware of how good Fresno State actually are. Mm. A very, very dangerous football team, one of the best football teams, ATS, over the last 2 years. Last year, they're the best team in the country against the spread, and this year they're right there again, ATS. Going into Boise, though, now, I think Fresno's probably a better football team, but, man, I believe I was polled earlier in the day, and I don't want to get the year wrong, but I think that Boise State haven't been home underdogs since like 1990.
Yeah,
type thing.
Wow,
like it's that crazy. Like even in that game when the Oregon Ducks were there, when LeGarrette Blount punched someone years ago.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I think Boise's game was a pick'em type thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's been years. Okay, I might be wrong off for a couple of years. Boise just aren't home dogs very often, and you almost want to blindly bet it. But you remember what happened last year, guys? They played in back-to-back weeks. You know, Boise went to Fresno. It was the last game of the year, and they lost. And then they played the Mountain West title game in Boise, and they won.
Yep.
And they had a choice who they could send, and they sent Boise. So Fresno got a chip on their shoulder. It was like the commissioners of the board of the Mountain West decided they've got a chip on their shoulder. They don't like Boise State, and they are a better football team. They got a great quarterback. They got one of the best defenses in college football. And I know their schedule, strength of schedule isn't great, but I can't. This is one of these games where the green gazoo, like the old green gazoo,
saying,
don't do it, dumb dumb. Fresno's really good. How the hell do we pass up Boise on their home field getting points?
I love the gazoo reference. That's awesome.
Dumb dumb.
Gabe Morenci is with us, Sheeman and Shepherd at 99.3 ESPN. All right, for Saturday's action, as we are paying more and more attention to the top-ranked teams for the college football playoffs, a lot of those top-ranked teams have big point spreads, games that they should win handily tomorrow. Anybody get tripped up tomorrow? Anybody you keeping an eye on?
You know, I don't think so. I think next week is going to be the week. I think Syracuse really can trip up Notre Dame next week. You know, Florida State's just not going to have enough firepower, and we've seen what's going on with FSU this year to deal with Notre Dame. Alabama, and to be honest with the Alabama game, guys, I'm surprised the number's not more. You know, I've been thinking of Mississippi State. We've bet against Mississippi State on this show a couple of times this year, and I've talked about how they're overvalued by the market for one reason or another on a weekly basis, and I think they're being overvalued here. I told you guys last week about Alabama being 8-0 against the spread in the first half. Well, now they're 9-0 against the spread in the first half this year. They've covered every game in the first half, and they're laying 24 in this football game. You know, the first half numbers don't come out at some spots. They're probably popping up right now. You know, they should be 14.5 mm-hmm. in the first half. I doubt they're going to make it less than 14. They're going to make you lay the hook on top of it just because they're getting tired of getting beat. And last week, of course, the books got crushed. And I wasn't one to doing a crushing, actually. Anytime you guys see that the public killed the book, I normally don't have a great week because, you know, I generally don't bet what the public is betting. So it's ironic. Everyone, hey, everyone won. Yeah, I didn't. I know the books got, well, at least I'm honest, right?
Right, right. Yeah.
I didn't get killed last week, but it wasn't some gold rush for me. I'll tell you that much. Florida Gators really cost me last week against Missouri. But so long story short, I'm laying the points with Alabama in the first half, and I'm a lifelong Michigan Wolverine fan since the late 70s. So I'm excited. I'm probably the only guy excited in the tri-state area to be going to the football game tomorrow. Michigan and Rutgers, but you know, I think Michigan's going to cover this number. It's 39.5.
Yep.
I'll be looking at a first half situation as well. Rutgers is going to have a hard time scoring against Michigan, and Michigan's not going to let up. I don't think it's a case in which it's, well, you know, we're in if we win. You know, you've got the Georgia, you've got Georgia lurking. There's still some uncertainty around Michigan. Their defense is just too good as well. I just don't think Rutgers can be able to score. It's tough. If you don't want to lay the 39.5 points, I get it. But I think the first half is definitely something worth to take a look at, along with Alabama in the first half.
Yeah, and just real quick on the Alabama-Mississippi State game, you think sometimes the odds makers get caught up in what happened the year before where that game sort of, you know, kind of came down to the wire in Starkville, and that was, you know, that was a sounding board for Nick Saban the rest of the way. See, enough of these shenanigans. They can play us tough, but I agree with you. I think Alabama is going to destroy him on Saturdays. But I mean, do you think sometimes if Vegas gets caught up with what happens the year before because it was such a close game?
Yeah, well, Mississippi State have played them tough, and as you stated, it was a 31-24 game last year. The year before that, though, it was 51-3. You know, the year before that, it was 31-6.
Yeah,
both of which would get us covers in this spot. There have been instances where Mississippi State have played tough. I think the betting public sort of overthinks things. And we play the old look-ahead game, or it's a letdown, right? Well, it's going to be a little bit of a letdown. Alabama played against LSU, et cetera, last week. Yeah, I don't know, man. I think that, you know, the old look-aheads, I was talking with Syracuse getting Notre Dame next week. How many kids in the room right now on Syracuse are thinking about Notre Dame right now?
No, I mean,
or are they looking at Instagram and some hot chick?
Yeah.
Or are they saying to their, I'm being real. Or are they saying to their buddy, man, I'm going to get a touchdown on TV tonight against Louisville. And I don't want to be flippant about it, but I bet you there's some kids on the team, they don't know they're playing Notre Dame next week. I think that the look ahead happens with the coaching staff.
Mm-hmm.
I think it happens with the coaches who start to take a sneak peek ahead, and then it trickles down to the intensity factor, maybe in the practices. But I find in today's day and age where kids, you know, they don't even know their teammates' names, half of these guys. They don't care. Like, they really don't. Like, I told a story before. I know a professional football player, and his team won a football game. He ran over to the kicker, and he picked the guy up, and he said, "Great kick, Dan." And the kicker turned around, and he goes, "Dan got cut this week."
That's a rough world.
True story. True story. And he saw them anyways. Welcome to the team.
That's right.
He was an old lineman. He had no idea the field goal kicker got released. You know what I mean? He didn't know.
And the old linemen are supposed to be the smart ones on the team. That's for sure.
Exactly. It's a great Ricky Henderson story, right? When John Olerud, even though the people say it's an urban legend, it's tough to nail down if it's true, but they were in Seattle, and Ricky Henderson sitting next to John Olerud, and he looks over. He goes, "You know, I used to play with a dude that used to wear a batting helmet at first base."
Right.
And he goes, "Just like you." John Olerud goes, "It was me, Ricky. We won a World Series together."
I've heard that. That's a great story. Yep. Gabe Morenci is with us for Fantasy Sports Network. And the remaining moments we have, anything jump out at you on Sunday? I know we'll see if the Rams have a bounce-back game. I think Dallas gets killed in Philly, personally. But what jumps out at you?
You know, Craig, it's interesting you bring up that Sunday night game because it really has that feeling, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just saw Dallas lose on Monday Night Football. Seems like Philadelphia, it's a good spot for them. Sunday Night Football, national television, sky's falling for the Cowboys. Everybody's just on the Eagles in this game so much. And the fact of the matter is, guys, you know the Dallas Cowboys record in that Jerry World Stadium? Straight up, 27-31.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're just not a good home team.
No.
And they haven't been a good home team since they moved into the stadium. But conversely, they've been pretty good on the road, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, Jason Kelce talking, I don't know if you guys talked about it with the, and, you know, it's not the biggest sports story of the week, so if you didn't, but, you know, we've got on our radio show in the mornings, we've got a Philly fan and a Cowboy fan, so we've been having a lot of fun with this game this week. And Jason Kelce of the Eagles basically stated that he hates the Cowboys, that he's always hated the Cowboys, and it's not even about, like, the Eagle rivalry. He just basically stated that, "I hate their fans. I hate what they stand for. They're front runners. They have a bunch of fans from around the country that, you know, have never really been to a Cowboy game, and they're just all front runners because they won before." He goes, they wanted to keep the replacement players. I read about that. Like, he hates Jerry Jones. He hates the Cowboys. That sort of gets the Cowboys' attention a little bit, Mike. This is the season for the Cowboys.
Yeah.
It's going to be ugly if they lose. Garrett could get fired if they get blown out. National television, division rivals. And then today, there's in the news there, the 7-year-old kid sent a letter to the Cowboys telling them that they suck.
That's right.
It's like, this is it for the Pokes. It just feels, I'm not saying it's the best week, Craig. I'm just saying it feels almost like a trap that people are walking into this. And then suddenly Elliott rushes for 149 yards. It's not like the Eagles are great.
You know,
like, I get it. The Cowboys have issues. Scott Linehan should be fired. Their offense is putrid. Yet, it's not like the Eagles are clicking on all cylinders right now either. The other one is a game in your guys' backyard here, which is the contrarian angle. I mean, why is Washington even getting on the plane, guys? They can't. All the injuries that they have.
Yeah. Yep.
Why do they even bother going to Tampa to take on a Tampa Bay Buccaneer team that just covers every week, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, a Tampa Bay Buccaneer team that gives up 34 freaking points a game. Like, you know, this is another one where I'm not going to tell your listeners, hey, guys, you know, I love the Redskins this week. But really, I get it. There's injuries. But the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are favorites. You know, have you watched them play defense this year? You know, this is another one of these contrarian games where, and I've spoken to a lot of so-called smart people, and the same so-called smart people that told me all week that week that Baltimore, why they explained to me why Baltimore were favorites, are condescendingly telling me why now that Tampa are favorites right now. I don't know, man. Again, Alex Smith plus points against Ryan Fitzpatrick and his Bucs D and Dirk Cutter. I got to be leaning with the points. I'm really liking the dogs this week. The game that I do like a lot, guys, is the Detroit Lions. This year, this year against the Chicago Bears, the narrative has changed a little bit. You know, normally the Lions have been favorites over the years just because the Bears have been so bad. But you know how, like, certain division rivals they beat each other all the time?
Yeah.
This is the case that we have here in which the Lions have owned the Bears, man. Matt Stafford is 9-1 straight up his last 10 games against the Chicago Bears. They're always close games. And I don't see any reason why this won't be a close game. The Bears are another team that aren't as good as people think they are. They beat the Bills last week. Good for them. But, you know, the Bears are good, but you can't be laying 7 points to them. To me, this is a game that comes down to the wire. Give me the 7 points with the Motown boys, even though I don't like Matt Patricia.
All right. Sounds good on that note. Gabe Morenci. Find him on Twitter at Sports Rage. Of course, the Fantasy Sports Network. Gabe, thank you as always. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Gabe.
Hey, it's always a pleasure. And you know what? I was just going to say on the way out, Matt Patricia wouldn't like me either. I've got horrible posture.
All right, that's pretty funny. All right, thank you, Gabe. Gabe, every Friday here, just to set us straight after we goof around with our pigskin picks. Bring in the professional.